milkman to do the work. Since I will be very much affectionate toward my calf, your desire to take milk from me will be fulfilled. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhute Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Vacharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskadya Desatarne. The Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, Adishtanam Tata Karta Karnam Chapritag Vidan Vividas Chapritag Chesta Daivam Chaivantra Panchamam. That there are five causes for the accomplishment of any kind of action. Namely, Adishtanam, the body, or the place of the activity. Tata Karta, the soul, who's known as Karta, or the doer. Then there is Adishtanam Tata Karta Karnam, the senses. Unless we have senses, unless we have sight and smell and hearing and touch and legs and arms, we can't do anything. We may have a body, but without senses, it'll be difficult to do anything. And chesta, the endeavor or the soul in contact with the body through the false ego, desiring to do certain things. So the manifestation of the false ego creating endeavors. Chesta, and then Daivam Chaivancha Panchama. Then the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, things don't happen by one single factor. There are many factors that are necessary. Shariram Yat, Sharira Vangmanobir Yat, Nayam Viparitam Chaya. Sharira yad.
Sharira yad.
Sharira, sharira vangmano biryat karam parajite nira nayam va viparitam va panchite tasya hetava. Whether a person acts by body, mind, or words, whether rightly or wrongly, all these five factors are necessary to produce activity. Yasya nalabhyate, yasya nalabhyate naram,
yasya
hankara. Tadraiva satikataram atmanam kevalam tuya pashantya kritva buddhima nasapashuti duramati. Anyone who thinks himself the only factor in the performance of activities is not very intelligent and cannot see things as they are. So this is due to the mode of ignorance that people don't understand how things are actually going on. From the point of view of people don't understand that they're not the only doer. Sometimes when things are going right, then they take all the credit for it. I worked so hard, I did so much, and by my intelligence so many things came about, I deserve all the credit, to the point that they want to get their name in history. They're not even interested in material wealth or sense gratification anymore, grossly. They just want their name to be in history, how much they did. Of course, if you ask, who was the Lord Brahma and the last Brahma? What was his name and address? Who was his mother? No one would know. Well, his mother, yes. Mother was Lord Narayan. But if you go to the demigods nowadays and you mention Brahma's name, whoever the Brahma is in our lifetime, he's quite a famous personality throughout the whole universe. Millennium after millennium, people are talking about Brahma, what Brahma ate for breakfast, where he slept last night, who got a chance to meet Lord Brahma. Great personality, but there have been billions and trillions of Brahmas, and who remembers them? Similarly, who's going to remember our activities in this lifetime? How long will they be remembered for? Sometimes, usually in temples, they always have plaques. People want to have their name on a plaque because they fear, think, even after I leave my body, I'll be remembered. But for how long will our name and fame be remembered? But we want to take all credit for what we're doing. We take it very seriously, whatever we're doing. But there's one person who can take it seriously. That's Krishna. And as a matter of fact, in one sense, everyone does take seriously what we do because we get a reciprocation, whatever we're doing. So here it mentions, if you want to accomplish something, you have to invoke some, well, whatever we're doing, we're invoking some mood in people. And therefore, on the basis of the mood that we invoke, something happens. That if you want to get milk from a cow, you can't beat the cow. You have to put the cow in a certain mood. And that mood for cow milk is considered a very valuable food. Why? Because it's the only food that's given out of love. The scientists may analyze milk in terms of its proteins or fat content, but they never analyze in terms of its love content. But it's the love, the mood of the cow towards the calf that actually gives the greatest quality that the milk has, that induces maternal feelings in the person who drinks the milk. Feelings of protection, etc. That's why generally meat eaters, they don't like to drink the milk. It makes them feel too maternal. They want to drink the blood, so they can get more enthusiastic to eat other living entities. But that maternal feeling is necessary if one wants to develop higher consciousness. Tigers, they may have maternal feelings towards their tigresses. They have maternal feelings towards their children, but even sometimes they even eat their children. They're in a bad mood. Even the kids have to watch out. Talk about child abuse. It happens even in the lower species of life. But generally, even tigresses have maternal feelings towards their children because therefore they give them milk at the beginning. But and then train them up how to hunt and send them out. But the cow, purely out of maternal affection, gives the milk. And if we drink it, then Prabhupada says we get higher consciousness. Because higher consciousness means feelings of affection. Shraddha means, in Sanskrit, many things, but we translate it as faith. But faith is where we put our consciousness. Sad means heart, and da means where we put our heart. So wherever we put our consciousness, then we get an experience. And generally everyone's looking for an experience of affection and love. Of course, we want the experience with the affection and love of this body. Generally the conditioned soul identifies people who love their body as objects of their affection and love. Of course, because the soul is not the body. And because the body is not really very lovable when you really get down to it, you have to be an illusion to love the body. One time Prabhupada was talking to some householders and said, householders, their position is to be an illusion. Because without being an illusion, how can you be a householder? When Shukadeva Goswami left, and he was naked, traveling, and he came by a lake where all these beautiful ladies were naked, bathing. They did not cover themselves because they saw how innocent Shukadeva Goswami was. But when Vyasadeva running after him, when the ladies saw him, immediately they covered themselves. So Vyasadeva was a little concerned. He said, I'm on the same level as realization that they are. How is it that you covered yourself when you saw me, but you didn't cover yourselves when you saw my son? So they said, well, because you're a householder. Because a householder has to discriminate between male and female. Otherwise, how could he be a householder? In other words, one who's in a certain mood, he'll have a certain type of attention. One who has affection for this body, who focuses his attention on the body and tries to make it please the body, then certainly by such attention, one will not really invoke anyone else's love, nor one will even invoke love from the body. The body doesn't reciprocate with love. It simply reciprocates with more and more demands. No one can ever say, well, I paid so much attention to my body and now it loves me. Now it's reciprocating by giving me all kinds of affection and love and concern. No, it simply demands more and more attention, more and more reciprocation. You may work with a body throughout the whole day, try to make it happy and peaceful, but generally when we go to sleep at night, you wake up the next morning, you start from zero again. You have to wake up the body. The body doesn't want to wake up. You got to hope the body cooperates so that you can, you know, get the morning duties done. And then you hope that even after you take, the body will cooperate and you'll be able to eat prasadam. And then you hope you cooperate so it'll digest whatever you ate. Even the teeth, you hope they'll cooperate and they'll be able to chew the food. The mind will cooperate, it'll remember to chew the food. We're just hoping the body cooperates. We're just demanding and demanding, and sometimes it doesn't cooperate, just demands. So this loving affair we have with the body doesn't produce anything but more and more entanglement. But still, if we want to induce others to do something, then we have to generate a certain mood. Generally, people get married because they have this idea, at least, that she loves me. She cares about me. She sees the good in me. She sees how the strong, heroic hero that no one else sees in me. And the lady thinks, he sees the goddess of fortune in me. How by my energy, I'll get this useless guy to do something. I'm definitely going to get him to work. They see how, you know, feminine I am, how attractive I am, etc. And within each other, one is thinking, let me get the chance to exploit the other person. As soon as I get the opportunity, as soon as they fall into my net, then I'll get a slave. So there's one mood externally, and one manifests itself, because otherwise the material world wouldn't work. If everyone was completely honest and said, I'm really attracted to you. I think your hand would really taste good. You don't mind if I cut it off and fry it. People wouldn't reciprocate in a positive way. Therefore, you have to say, let me touch your hand. It looks really good. Let me massage you a little bit. I'm really attracted by your hand. Did you ever think of giving charity? You have to use diplomacy in order to get what you want. So therefore, the whole material world is more or less people, the cheaters and the cheated in Kali Yuga. People advertising something, putting on a certain mood, a certain idea, projecting it, and seeing who's going to fall into the trap. And once the trap shuts, you're finished. Got you. Bought my product, gave up your energy. Enter into the frying pan, now I turn up the heat. Take a rest. I have a beautiful frying pan. Put a little pillow in there for you. Just sit down, relax, go to sleep, turn up the heat. You're finished. Just like one goes fishing and he has the rod and the reel and the bait at the end of the hook, throws it into the water. All the fishes are fighting for the bait. One big fish knocks all the other fish out of the way. I'm going to get that bait. Gets the bait, hook, tastes the bait. Ah, bliss. And then gets hooked. We reeled up. Fisherman catches him in his hand, cuts him open, throws his insides out, throws them on the frying pan, and he gets fried. He thought he was going to enjoy. He worked so hard, knocked everyone else out of the way to enjoy, but ultimately he just got fried. So that's the material world. Everyone's working hard, trying to put on so many different illusions, trying to allure people with talks of affection, society, and love. And ultimately, when they get what they want, they just get fried anyhow for all the endeavor. It's never what they expected, because not only they were an illusion, trying to manifest some illusion, project it, but also people who were trying to project illusions towards them. And everyone gets caught up in illusion, and the result is full of sound and fury, but signifies nothing. So here it says one has to not only learn how to become an expert cheater, which is what modern education means, how to cheat people. You go and buy a car in modern society. I have one disciple, I have to remember to call him up. He was selling cars. His father was an expert car salesman. So they put him on the job because his father was employed there for like 50 years. But he couldn't cheat people the way they wanted him to. So they fired him. Unless you cheat people, that you're considered to be useless. That's the way the company goes on. Unless you advertise falsely, then you can't make any money. Business means cheat. If you told people, take this product, it's useless. The only thing good about it is our good advertisement. Otherwise, nothing will happen to you. It doesn't matter how. The only thing that will happen to you is that you'll feel a lot lighter because your pocket will be a lot lighter. But take it anyhow because it'll make my wife happy. Who will buy the product? So you have to dress it up with so many colors and give testimonials. It doesn't matter that they all came from your wife's parents. Saying how wonderful the results were, that my teeth fell out, but as soon as I took this product, they all grew back in again. So, cheaters and the cheated. But if you add dharma, religiosity, and what is that dharma? The dharma is that every living entity is Krishna's servant. That's the whole basis of dharma. We can't cheat people, we can't exploit people, we can't be in that mentality, we can't kill living entities and expect to get any benefit from the higher powers. If we're killing living entities, we're insulting them, even mentally, then how are we going to invoke affection in other living entities? If all day long you're cutting throats of animals, what kind of mood are you developing? Hearing their screams, then you just have this idea that they're screaming, but they're not really alive. How can you think I'm cutting this animal's throat, and he's screaming, and I'm a bad person for doing it? No, Maya simply covers one over, and one thinks that it's just a machine. It's the sound of a machine when it's before it stops. And then you go home and it sounds like your wife sounds exactly like the cow. When she starts screaming, you think if I cut her throat, it'll stop too. What's the big difference? Just a different machine. The kids are machine, you can kill them. It's all machine. The only machine that really counts is my machine. Please don't make that stop. So if one develops does a certain attitude, then there will be a certain attitude and reciprocation. And people, according to our attitude, everyone's reciprocating. If we treat people like machines, we get trained up to treat living entities like machines, then we'll treat other people like machines too, and they'll reciprocate, and they'll take us as machine. And if they get an opportunity, they'll slit our throats too. And the time will come by the laws of karma, our throat will get slit. So according to the mood we're generating, the whole world will reciprocate with us. And if all living entities in this planet, they reciprocate, develop the mood by killing living entities, especially by killing cows, that is all mechanical, then not only Mother Earth won't supply anything, all the demigods will reciprocate also, because we'll have that mood towards everyone, including the higher living entities. That there are no higher living entities. They don't exist. The earth planet is simply dead energy. There is no earth goddess. There's nothing but my sense gratification. And that mood, everything will go gradually down and down and down. The earth won't supply anything. The demigods won't supply anything. We'll simply be left by eating our each other. That will be the only thing left until Kalki comes and kills everyone. So it's not that it doesn't matter what I'm doing or what my mood is. No, immediately everyone will reciprocate, even on book distribution. If we have the wrong mood, then people reciprocate. That's one of the advantages of distributing books. If we have the right mood, then Krishna reciprocates. If we have the wrong mood, then people reciprocate. I know one devotee, he was always fearful going out on book distribution. He wouldn't go because he was so fearful. So one time the leaders of the temple, they pushed him out on book distribution. And he was so fearful, he went up to the first person took his fist and slammed it into his face, knocked him out unconscious. So he realized immediately that whatever he was desiring, whatever he was thinking, meditating on, the whole world reciprocated with him. He was afraid that someone was going to attack him violently, meditated on it for years, and when he got the opportunity, his wish was fulfilled. On the other hand, one who has the consciousness that all living entities are Krishna's servant and tries to perform service to Krishna, then Krishna also reciprocates by sending sincere living entities to hear about Krishna or take books or make some spiritual progress according to our desire. In other words, if we pray to Krishna, we develop an attitude of service to Krishna, service to all of Krishna's living servants, then the result is that Krishna will reciprocate with this also through all the living entities, including the demigods. So unless people understand this, then gradually the whole society will degrade and degrade and degrade. Unless we have the proper attitude towards the Father, then we won't understand how all living entities are also His children. Even the present-day religions that so-called pray to God but kill the other living entities, we can see that they wind up getting killed in massive wars and being tortured by so many different ways, by polluting their environment, by creating all kinds of horrible advertisements, by creating a hellish situation in the name of so-called God consciousness, considering themselves very pious, but without understanding the eternality of all living entities and their relation with God and respecting them. In the name of God, they create a horrible, as Krishna says, unbeneficial world. Etam drishtim avashtabhya nashtatmanao nabhudaya pravat yugra karmana shaye jagatohita. They say that this world, asatyam apratishtam se jagada horanishvaram aparashparam sambhudyam kimanya kamahaitukam. They say that this world is unreal, it has no foundation, has no God in control, is produced of sex desire and has no other cause than lust. So, following such, being blind, etam drishtim avashtabhya, being covered over and blind to reality, they create unbeneficial, horrible works which are meant to destroy the world. So this philosophy is very simple. Everyone is Krishna's servant, even the living entities. Unless we develop that attitude of service to them, chanting the holy name, giving them some prasad, giving them some books or philosophy, unless we develop the attitude of trying to help them become Krishna conscious, if we have the attitude, let me exploit them by eating them or killing them, human beings have become so degraded, even without having to eat them, they just kill them just for the mere fun of killing other living entities. There is no other living entity who does that. So what will be the result? Simply the world will become more and more degraded. So it is not that we can avoid this philosophy that Krishna is God and we're all His servants. We're all the servants of Krishna's servants, all the servants. and learn how to properly serve all living entities in all circumstances, develop that mood of service so that Krishna can properly utilize this as an instrument. Without developing that mood, we become covered, and then the material nature will reciprocate with us, and our life will become more and more in the mode of ignorance, and more suffering will accrue. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Earlier in the class, you mentioned the value of milk comes from the love that the cow is giving, particularly towards the calf. So in modern day commercial milk, that's not there. So does that mean that there's no also spiritual value in drinking commercial milk?
You have to offer it to Krishna with love. If it's offered to Krishna with love, then at least you'll put your love into it, and Krishna will put his love into it. Even if the cow didn't put so much love into it. Therefore, we're not vegetarians, we're Krishnarians. So as long as the devotees offer it with love and serve it with love, then even the cow will be benefited. But it's much better to drink milk, which is from a happy cow and a happy farm with a happy calf. It'll even be more powerful. Yes. In other words, it's not like black and white. It's like an iron. The more you put the iron to the fire, the hotter the fire is, and the hotter the iron becomes. So all these factors taken together. So if one quality is lacking, then it can be made up according to how the intensity of the offering of love to Krishna. Vidura was offering Lord Krishna banana peels, but he was doing it with so much love that Krishna ate them very ecstatically. But not that we should offer banana peels, because we're probably not on that level. I don't know, I think Rukmini Dwarkadish will appreciate it. But still, it's the offering that's important. Yes.
Maharaj, thank you for a nice class. The point about householders, just a little bit more discussion there I think is warranted, because somebody may think that, well, the ladies reacted to Vyasadeva by covering, but we need to make the point that he was not in illusion. It's not that, because from social convention, yes, they made the right choice, but Vyasadeva was not in illusion, obviously. He's Shaktivesh Avatar. It's not that he got married because he was, you know, had the symptoms that you so nicely described about people who get married. Or any of the other acharyas like Bhaktivinoda Thakur or Srila Prabhupada. Because sometimes even deified devotees make that mistake, that, you know, Prabhupada may have married out of lust, or Bhaktivinoda Thakur may have married out of lust. He had 10 children after all. But no, it's not that they're on the platform of lust. They're doing whatever Krishna wants them to do, and that's what makes them pure devotees. And every moment they're doing exactly what the Lord wants them to do.
Prabhupada was, of course, saying that in jest. He wasn't really saying it seriously. But one has to act in illusion, as if he's an illusion. Otherwise, he can't be a householder. That's the point. Just like Priyavrata Maharaj. He was a renounced brahmachari. He was taking instructions from Narada Muni on the top of a mountain. But his Swayambhuva Manu, his father, wanted him to rule the universe. So he had to send not only Lord Brahma, but also Lord Shiva and others. It was like one Mahajan against three or four, in order to convince Priyavrata that he had to take up the service. And when he took up the service, it wasn't he thought, you know, here's my wife, but she's actually a soul, and, you know, there's no real, it's all an illusion, she's not really my wife. No, he had to act as a perfect householder. So within himself, he was always renounced, but his wife had a glance at him very lovingly and dressed very nicely, because otherwise it would set a bad example for the rest of the universe. And so they all played their parts perfectly. So they had, even if they were an illusion, they had to act as if they were an illusion, or else the whole thing would have been spoiled. Not only for themselves, but for the whole universe. But still, household life is a delicate, because one has to play the part and not get caught in the illusion. It's difficult. But that's why householders get a chance to practice. That's why everyone gets a chance to practice. Even sannyasis or brahmacharis, because none of us, naham viparana charanara patira, None of us are these bodies. Therefore, we have to play our part as if we were, but at the same time realize that we're not. Because if one thinks he's a sannyasi, because one perfectly plays the part of a sannyasi, a Vaishnava sannyasi, it's hard to get caught in illusion when it's actually playing that role. But that's possible too. Play the act as if you're renounced. As Krishna says, what's that? Karmendriyani samyamya yaste manasasmaran indriyartam vimudatma mityacharas uchite. One who restrains his senses and organs of action, but his mind dwells on sense objects, certainly deludes himself and is called a pretender. Yastva indriyani manasa niyamya rabitejana karmendriyai karmas yogam asaktasa vishishite. On the other hand, who controls the active senses by the mind and works in devotion without attachment is by far superior. So in any position, we act with detachment and utilize the senses in Krishna's service and in devotion, then whatever we're doing is perfect. Then it's all the same thing. But if a householder tries to act like a sannyasi, then the whole thing's spoiled. And if a sannyasi acts like a householder, then it's spoiled too. So everyone should play their role and at the same time be Krishna conscious. Anything else? Thank you very much. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande Haribo.
It just had to be